feeling so ready. And these weights are getting heavy. Need to do something big before the king's men get me in a hurry, see. Because homeland security has got to crack down while they redesign the currency with an urgency. This is a national emergency. Hauling off our families to prison camp facilities is killing me. Most people here don't even know, though. They can't see the countries run by pedophile mafiosos. The FEMA trains are coming. The new world is here. And most people are so caught up that they don't care. Never mind the state of the world, never mind what's vital. Let's just sip our Coca-Cola while we watch American Idol. Never mind the war in Africa, Iraq, North Korea. We'd rather get the latest scoop on Brad and Angelina. That's cause Hollywood has got us on that Kool-Aid, keeping us distracted while they prep us for the new age, the rise of transhumanism. People, this is true. It isn't something that I got out of a movie or cartoon. They want to put a chip in you, so do you want to let them do it? They're halfway there, and yes, the minions will pursue it unless the people say no. Let the people take hold. Let the people rise up and show them people got soul. If the people got soul, then now's the time to stand up. If you won't stand up, then be prepared to bow down
to the new world police state. This is what it is now. Mandatory vaccines for you and your kids now. Time that you resist now, cause this is your life. I'ma raise my voice because that is my right. The new world police state, this is what it is now. RFID chip for you and your kids now. Time that you resist now, cause this is your life. I'ma raise my voice because that is my right.
We live inside a systematic, never-ending war, a cross between Brave New World and 1984, where everyone is doped up, addicted to the telescreens, right down to all these bourgeois motherfuckers telling me my music is too this, my music is too that. I need better hooks, better beats, and I need to stop rapping. What I need to do is stop listening to everyone else, cause I don't need a label. I release this shit myself. I don't write this for the radio. I'm speaking from my heart. So go ahead, let these critics criticize my art. What it comes down to is my lyrics are too smart, and the truth is something major labels aren't trying to market. Your children are the target, and your energy the means. We're running on a wheel, working hard for this machine. And if you all know what I mean, then I believe there's no reason we couldn't all come together hard and call treason on the motherfuckers violating each and every day. No, this isn't freedom, this is modern day slavery. It's time we break chains and set the whole world free. Now's the time to speak, because we deserve peace.
New world police state, this is what it is now. Mandatory vaccines for you and your kids now. Time that you resist now, cause this is your life. I'ma raise my voice because that is my right. The new world police state, this is what it is now. RFID chip for you and your kids now. Time that you resist now, cause this is your life. I'ma raise my voice because that is my right.
Look at how they treat us when we go through TSA. But if there's a real threat, CIA just walks them on the plane. It's a mafia-run business, and we'll never know the whole plan. But they do it in the name of the homeland.
New world police state, this is what it is now. Mandatory vaccines for you and your kids now. Time that you resist now, cause this is your life. I'ma raise my voice because that is my right. The new world police state, this is what it is now. RFID chip for you and your kids now. Time that you resist now, cause this is your life. I'ma raise my voice because that is my right.
And welcome to another California Guy radio show with your boy California Guy. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Comic-Con edition, our annual tradition Comic-Con edition show. What's up, people, and how's you guys? Sunday is still 4 West Coast time, 6 o'clock East Coast time in the East Coast. Shout out to people all over the U.S. Shout out to the fandom. Shout out to the nerds that's out there. So let's break some stuff down. Let's get started with today's show. First order of business, let me break down some of the Comic-Con stuff that's taking place this weekend. First of all, let me break my thesis down. This has been a great Comic-Con this year. Too bad Marvel didn't show up, but it wasn't really needed. But it was a great Comic-Con this year. I enjoyed some of the stuff that they presented to majority, to all of us fans, you know, with more dialogue, Trishon, everything else. So shout out to Comic-Con. And they're going to stream it next year, I think. So we're going to see this stuff live beginning in 2016. So we'll be seeing it at next Comic-Con. We should get some streamed up stuff coming up soon, so stay tuned for that part. Yeah, so let me begin by getting to the meat of the hour. Let's get to the topic at hand. And, okay, we got callers calling in, too. So I'm going to let you guys on. So, you know, I'm just talking, so you guys will be let on. Let me see. I think we got Mr. 2.0. I'm at 2.0. Hey, what's going on, 2.0?
Hey, Kelly guy, what's going on?
Not too much. I was just about to get started into the meat of
good to
the
be
hour.
Back. Good to be back on your show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you've been missing out on some shows. Some shows I've done, you just, I think that was the timing or you was working or something. So it was
Yeah, it was the timing. Yeah, we can do the best.
I'm glad that you're back on. Yeah, we need some unbiased. We need bias on this show, so I need some biases because I, you know, at times I could be out of control with my fandom, with my fanaticism. So we need somebody else that's unbiased on here. So let me ask you, how was the Comic Con to you? Let me ask you before I get started into my rant. How was the Comic Con?
It was pretty cool. I really enjoyed the stuff I was the trailers and the stuff I was reading about the other stuff. Pretty interesting things went on Comic-Con this year.
Give us some highlights that you enjoyed.
First off, where's the Hateful Eight trailer? I really wanted to see that. I know it wasn't leaked or anything. So I did read about the panel and all that stuff. But
I read it too. Yeah, you know what? So too, but I guess they had to keep that on. Yeah. On ice. I've never known from the leak out Tarantino trailers, though. I've never known from really to do that, but I was hoping that they publicly would have bought that out. I really was looking forward to that. I agree with you on that. That was something that I wanted to see, and I've anticipated Hateful Eight is one of my number one movies of the year. So we're going to go further details later in the details.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of did. I was looking forward to that, too. I was really impressed with the WB display this year. WB kind of stole.
Oh, yeah, you want to go into the WB DC stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, we could go into it, of course. That's a good meet. That's what people want to hear. That's what people call in and hear.
Well, love or hate their direction and whatnot, but they own Comic-Con this year. You can't deny that, you know. They owned it. They had a 1-2 punch with Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad, and those are those got the best reactions. I would say Fox got pretty close because they had that Deadpool trailer that went really well, but the WB had the 1-2 knockout punch with Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad.
Which they did. They did. They actually had the 1-2 punch. And Star Wars too, but WB literally took it.
Star Wars, even though they didn't have a trailer, the behind the scenes stuff really got attention. That was pretty cool to see too. I'll give them that. But it would have been nice to see a trailer for that for Force Awakens as well. But behind the scenes stuff and the panel, all that, and the stuff they talked about, that was pretty cool too. And that went well, too.
WB did actually kind of steal it this year. And they had, not only just with Suicide Squad.
The only way to steal it, to win it, is you got to have trailers.
You said what?
You got to have trailers to win it, you know. You got to
have
footage.
Trailers,
of the movie. Of the movie.
Yeah, they have footage. That's what we look at. That's what us fans call in for to look at is we call in to see, like, the footage and the trailers that they present to us. Let me break down the trailers I like, too. The WB TV also took it, too, with The Flash, Vixen, Arrow, and they made an announcement that, what's his name from, I forgot his name. It's out of my head. It's playing Dark. So they announced the guy that's playing Dark. I forgot his name. Neil McDonald, I think his name is.
Yeah, that's him.
So they have major announcements for WB television also. Actually, on the lighter side of WB2 and the DC stuff, they show Peter Pan, so people can get over to the WB website. They show Peter Pan also, too, and something for the third movie they showed. So It was one more movie after, because I'm trying to go into all their stuff that they show, not just the DC stuff, but I'm trying to think of it now. I just put my head. I gotta go back online and look at it. But DC really, really outdated themselves. Well, what did you think about the Donald Justice trailer?
It was, I gotta admit, it was pretty good. I'm kind of sold on it now. And by the way, I'm gonna say something that's gonna piss off people who hate the movie or not look forward to. After the trailer, I gotta say, it's breaking the opening weekend record. I'm calling it now. It's breaking Jurassic World's opening weekend record. After that trailer, sold what it needed to sell. You know, with the story, how Batman is involved with the story. It really sold out really well, and that's what it needed. And how Superman. And how Superman's role in the film is. They pretty much, you know, gave you an idea of what both their roles are. They sold it really well. And that's what they
needed. Exactly. Yeah. Well, let me rebut up that. You're absolutely right. That it showed up about 4 years. Let me just say it real quick. For 2 years, all of us, I think. Even myself,
yeah.
Some poor guy.
2 years,
have been criticized. I've been critical of Donald just a year and a half since they kind of announced it. Two things was the gist that I was saying about Donald Justice. And so the complaint was that, you know, it's too many characters, it was too quick to make this project. We are different things.
The
so
Batman, putting Batman in it felt shoehorned in, and it was a reaction thing and all that stuff. They kind of turned it around ever since they brought in Chris Terrio to replace David Goyer.
That's true. That's absolutely true what you're saying, because with the direction, well, it seems like a film. You know, I said this offline for a while. Donald Justice came across as more of a film. Now, it's not a knock against Marvel. And me and you, we've talked about this in the California Guy Group, me and you. With Age of Ultron, I'm not trying to shit on Marvel either. I don't want people thinking I'm shit on Marvel. But when Age of Ultron came out, all had anticipation, and I've done radio shows with this, that Age was going to be good, but then it didn't all, a lot of us, it didn't give us that 1-2 punch, even though it made the money that, I think Jurassic Park killed that. I think it killed Age of Ultron. But Age of Ultron just didn't give the power just something to me like Mad Max. Mad Max had power behind it. I didn't see Mad Max, by the way. But Mad Max had power behind it. Jurassic Park, Fast and Furious. So when you say things about the summer box office films, I know it's about superheroes we're talking about. Age didn't deliver to me. And I called it for months, and I said that the Age was going to be decent, but it just didn't give that wow moment to it. So Dawn of Justice, and this is
it didn't get the reaction of the first movie.
It didn't. It really didn't. I mean, I've said this, and I kind of reviewed it.
But it was good.
It was a good movie. It's not trash.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to get this that I'm dick riding DC because of Dawn. No, I'm not doing that. But Dawn, if Dawn could deliver something kind of like Marvel is doing, that would be great. That's my whole thing to people out there. And I know people have been hating on Donald Justice for different reasons. Yes, fanboy hating it because, you know, it's not this way that they think it is, or it's not like the Batman movie. So, you know, you're beginning to hate from different fans. But this is the thing. This is to me for the fans. Fans can kiss an ass because you're never going to get a certain interpretation of Batman that's going to be directly from the page. Now, you're in it for me. Now, there's room to criticize some issues when it comes to comic book movies such as Batman, but Batman hasn't really been faithful since Batman 89. That's real talk. Batman 89 wasn't even faithful to the comics like that. It had the essence of the character, but it wasn't like 100% faithful. So that's just the people out there that's like, oh, they want to make an issue. And I read a lot of blogs, and I read a lot of listen to podcasts, and people just want to hate for the fuck of hating on something without really, and I've seen the trailer, and the trailer was epic. If you ask my opinion, the Donald Justice trailer was one of the most epic trailers that I've seen this year. It blew me away next to Star Wars, the second trailer. Actually, two good trailers. Star Wars blew me away, and then Donald Justice blew me away.
To be fair, let's be real. To be fair, if Star Wars had a trailer in Comic Con, that would have won.
But you know, I'm gonna tell you the truth. But I'm gonna talk about Star Wars in a little bit, though.
But Star Wars, you know what? Things like Star Wars, really, look, things like at the same time, they didn't really need one because they already sold it in the last teaser. Like that, got people's attention enough. Everybody's excited. Don Justice has something to prove.
Because you have so many fans. See, here's the problem. You have so many fans that trashed the shit out of Don. They trashed the first trailer. I did too. I didn't like the first trailer. I mean, I didn't do a show on
it. And it got leaked on the same day that Star Wars teaser came out. And
yeah, that was a debacle. Yeah, that was a debacle on WB.
That was bad timing. It was sabotaged.
Mm-hmm. It was sabotaged from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But with Dawn of Justice, this second trailer, and something that Crossfire said to me privately, they don't really need to put I'm telling you, Colin, But Crossfire said one thing that was interesting. He said they don't need to put out a third trailer right now. They really don't need, Dawn doesn't need another trailer. I've told people this. The stuff that I've seen, the stuff that I watched in the movie, and I'm going to break the trailer down too in a bit, but the stuff that I see in the trailer, I'm like, that was 3 minutes of the movie. We don't really need, we got a visual how that universe works. We got a lot of stuff. We don't need another trailer right now. Anybody that's hating on it is going to hate anyway. They're already going to not like it. So that's just the thing. They were going to already just dislike the movie. But Don really doesn't need another trailer. And I agree with Crossfire up until later this year. But the trailer was epic. I like the beginning part. Let me break some of these details down real quick. I like the beginning part. I like how they tied in Man of Steel. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they tied, they gave you the continuity. They gave you the connective tissue to that first movie. When you see the beginning part, if anybody watched Man of Steel, spoiler alert, but in Man of Steel, the city was destroyed. Metropolis had a 9/11 type attack. And so you see like Superman and Zod fighting in the laser. So you're seeing it from Batman's point of view, Bruce Wayne's point of view in this trailer. Where you see the beginning, and I'm going to spoil the trailer, people, so if you haven't seen it, go see it. But in the trailer, they show like Bruce Wayne running toward and saving a child, which I think is Kelly. I think that's a character from Dark Knight Returns. But his Wayne Tower is going down. It's like a massive attack. So you see them from Bruce Wayne's point of view. And so it confirms that Bruce Wayne was in Metropolis when the attack takes place. So Bruce is pissed. So he's pissed at this being from another world. They're giving you sort of a real world point of view. Yeah, and it shows you that this superhero or this alien came to Earth and he caused a massive invasion. And, you know, and it pisses off Batman. Now,
I like how Bruce Wayne kind of, he's risking his life to go into that destruction to, you know, to save somebody.
Uh-huh. No, I love that.
He sees that little girl. And he's angry. He looks up and he's angry, like, what the hell are you doing, you know, Superman? No.
Exactly. Yeah. I like that. And you know what's so interesting, too? They took threads from Dark Knight Returns and they took threads from Dark Knight Rises also, whereas they have an older Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the people who kind of like Dark Knight Rises and they like Dark Knight Returns. They took a lot of it. So the basis of the movie is, and like you said, you see Bruce Wayne not as brave going into that destruction, and then he gets pissed when he sees that, which is confirmed. Ben Affleck, what I'm talking about is confirmed, it's not rumored, that Batman is going to be mad because one of his coworkers was killed in that attack.
Yeah.
So that's confirmed.
Not one of, like, all the people that worked for him, you know, they were in that building, the Bruce Wayne building, the Wayne Tower, they died.
Yeah.
So that confirms that. So the people, it kind of makes the people who defended Man of Steel look bad because they're saying, but we don't know if anybody died in those towers. They kind of confirm, a lot of people died.
Yeah, they confirm that.
They have to admit that.
Go ahead, talk about that.
No, it kind of confirmed that, yes, Superman did kill people.
Yeah, so they confirmed that.
That's
confirmed. They confirmed that people died in that tower.
Yeah.
Talk while you're on, too, by the way, so you can talk when you're ready, but, yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, guys. Hey, what's going on, 2.0? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Good to be back in the California Gang Show with you guys.
Yeah.
Been a long time.
So,
see, look,
yeah, it has. We haven't had you on here in a while.
Comic-Con brings everyone together.
Well, of course. I mean, as fans as we are, and, you know, as much as we talk about this stuff, man, I mean, this show is a no-brainer. I mean, it brings everybody together, and it's all fandom at the end of the day. Cali Guy, thank you for having me on the show. Appreciate it. You know, just to give my 2 cents on the Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice trailer, pretty much, you know, I have to, just like the Star Wars trailer that came before, you know, with the first trailer, people were mediocre on it, and then the second trailer came out, everybody got on board and started, and it, you know, everybody was on board and wanted to see it. Same with the Dawn of Justice trailer. They dropped the second trailer, and it was, I said this before on Facebook, you know, even as a hardcore Marvel fan myself, I have to tip my hat off to Warner Brothers, because, you know, you could tell that they are going full speed ahead in terms of the DC Cinematic Universe and in terms of what they want to do with these characters. I saw some things in the trailer that I did not like, but overall, this was an outstanding trailer, and it sold not only me, but a lot of people to say, okay, we were wrong about you before, DC. Now, actually, it's Marvel's turn with Civil War to show us, like, hey, you know, because I want everybody out there to know, don't think that Marvel doesn't see this trailer and knows that, hey, you know, now we got competition. Now there's a legitimate threat. You know, one of the things I didn't like about the trailer was
Hold on one second. Okay, I'm letting K1 back on the line. Hold on a second, because I'm trying to let him on. So his phone dropped. So, hey, K1, what's going on? You're on.
What's good? 5x5. Y'all can hear me? What's good with y'all?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Okay, long time.
Is anybody else on the panel? Is just you or Crossfire?
Yeah, we got 2.0 Crossfire, and I got 2K1. So, but I'm going to let Crossfire finish. We're going to go Audrey. Okay, keep going with what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, you know, the only thing I didn't like about the Dawn of Justice trailer is, you know, the fact that, you know, I do not like Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I've expressed that many, many times. You know, I know people try to explain to me that, hey, he does, even though in my mind, yes, he does, the dialogue and the stuff that he's saying, the things that he's doing in this trailer is Lex Luthor-like. But to me, it is not convincing. It's not convincing to me.
I agree. He still feels out of place.
When I see him, and I see him, you know, acting goofy, and I'm like, okay, whatever. But I can personally not buy it buy this person being intimidating and being a real threat to Superman. I mean, what are you going to do later on down the line? Yeah, well, what are you going to do later on down the line when we have Man of Steel 2 and he actually gets that suit and has to face Superman? Listen, that was the only downside to the trailer, but all I have to say is let's wait and see. Let's wait and see, because come 2016, the real war is going to be between Marvel and DC.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg still feels out of place a bit. I still don't buy him yet, but yeah, like you said, give him a chance. And another thing you forgot to mention, so another thing I didn't like about the trailer was the dialogue with Martha Kent. It still felt like the whole, you shouldn't be a hero type of dialogue. You know, you have an ass feel that everybody hated, and it kind of annoyed me in the trailer. But other than that, it was a good trailer for what happened.
They needed that scene to show, first of all, to show that she's in the movie and to show that, you know, you have to see it from both sides. You have to see it from Superman's perspective and you have to see it from Batman's perspective. So even though this is this is pretty much a Batman movie featuring Superman. You have to have both sides if they're going to go at it with each other.
So,
because, you know,
does that mean that she's going to die by a tornado too?
Well, I hope not. I hope not. I really hope not. But yeah, you got any thoughts, man?
He's going to let her die, but then Batman's going to save her.
Excuse me, you guys, pardon me if I'm a little bit spaghetti. I'm indulging a bit. You know, listen, but first and foremost, like always, I know we haven't done a show in some time, but like always, you know, I'm extraordinarily appreciative with you guys giving me the opportunity these last couple of years to express my opinions on probably one of the most innovative platforms on podcast radio, California Guy, and I enjoy the report that we've been having and this thing that we've been doing. And so far as the trailer is concerned, I know everybody's gave some interesting insight, what they felt the pros and cons was. But for me, you know, there was parts of it. My initial thoughts when I seen it, it was somewhat semi-underwhelming because I knew, you know, Zack Snyder was going to do what he – I know he's a perfectionist, that's what he's a literalist. He takes – imagery from certain elements of comic books lore, and he replicate that on the screen. And I've seen a lot of that in the trailer, but after, you know, reviewing it a couple of times, there's a majestic quality. I know what they're trying to go for, but just like you guys said about the casting, you know, the inferior casting, like Jesse Eisenberg, Gal Gadot, those are deficiencies that you just can't mask, even with quality filmmaking. And I don't know, I've come around a bit in terms of what they're trying to do in terms of setting a unique precedent with how their films are going to go forward. I like that they're taking a more mature outtake to it. I like that this film has like a war theme. This kind of like, it feels like a war film, like Batman is burnt out psychologically and physically, and Superman inadvertently kind of reawakens the fire in him to take this back. And it's a personalized battle, and I like that. I like the dialogue, like Crossfire. I caught what he was saying about the dialogue is much more better than what Man of Steel was. There's a lot more motion to it. But the problem with Dawn of Justice is just that it's not – I still – and I said this approximately almost 2 years – around 2 years ago, I could say, and if Daryl – corrects me, and I talked about the position and how this film needs all the power it would need to be, because it is an event film. It's these icons coming together for the first time in 3/4 of a century, and you got to make people feel this generation, the generations that have come before it, and the upcoming and the succeeding generations feel like they've been introduced to these characters for the first time, but it's still something they're treating it. They're still paying homage to some of the elements that made them stand out to begin with. And like I said, the trailer, it looks explosions, epicness, but I just think at the end of the day, it all goes down to the fundamentals of the story. And Zack Snyder, unfortunately, that's been my number one pet peeve from day one, is that because of his way of telling a story and making style the definitive factor, you know, in filmmaking, that's my problem with them. I don't know the man. It's not a beef or anything like. It's not even a beef towards Warner Brothers, because at the end of the day, like I said, I want to see quality on both sides of the spectrum. I want to see Marvel kick it out. I want to see, hey, if Image Comic Books could get a, you know, film production. I don't care what it is, any kind of comic book title, as long as these characters are treated accordingly. And Dawn of Justice looks okay. It doesn't look like. Suicide Squad looks way more interesting than that. I have more.
Really?
Well, that looks more interesting in a sense. That looks like, and I was discussing this with Crossfire earlier, we were kind of going over some tidbits of that trailer. It's so horrific in terms of, it's like a horror film. What I got from Jared Leto's Joker was like a combination of Tyler Durden. He was like an amalgamation of Tyler Durden and Jack the Ripper. I mean, he was the sadism was so—it's so beautiful. Like he said, he's a beautiful disaster, and everything got exemplified
in that snippet that you've seen, just the morbidness of it. And I love it, man. And I don't know, my only thing with Suicide Squad, if I don't know if the general public is going to take to that.
Not to cut you off in a minute, well, because I don't want to stay on this too long, because I'm going to move to the other stuff with the Comic-Con.
Right.
But I'm going to stay on after you finish.
But the trailer for Dawn of Justice was passable. I give it a B-. It was passable. It was passable. But I'm still not convinced until I see the film. But it was passable.
Okay.
It was fun.
Okay, so you guys pretty much, so Alex, let me go back on the table real quick. Let me do like Jackal. Shout out to Jackal, by the way, you guys are kids. Let me do a Jackal real quick.
Jackal, number one Ben Affleck fan.
He's going to crap on it. But no, let me just real quick.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, that's my revenge to be crapping on me in the round table.
Oh, yeah.
Ben was very convincing, but he was never my problem from day one. It was the overall story structure and what the vision that Warner Brothers had for the supposed cinematic universe, because despite what everybody, you know, there's a lot of fools out there that want to say that this stuff was planned since day one. They had this in the bucket for 5 years.
Now
but
what,
there's a lot of
what,
evidence.
You know, let me get into that. You know what? We'll say that for a minute. We'll say that. Just hold that thought real quick. Let me go
Suicide
back.
Squad.
Okay. I'm going to go into Alex real quick, and we'll go back down this road again. So basically, with Dom, before we get to Suicide Squad, we're gonna move to that next. Then let me get my review really of Dom real quick. But I'm gonna go to Alex. Alex, your opinion about the trailer? You think it's gonna make $1 billion? You like it?
It's gonna break the opening weekend record.
I agree with that.
Will it be good? It is all to word of mouth at the same time. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with that 100%.
But the buzz is good. Right now, I mean, it could be bad when it comes out.
Horrible. Anything could change. Yeah, anything could change. But no, Crossfire. What do you think? So you're basically Crossfire. You're saying it's decent, the trailer. And then K1 says it's passable. So
yeah, I mean, let me just say, a lot of people, I've seen the consensus online, people are loving it. A lot of people are going to see this movie. It's going to make a lot of money regardless. And whether it's good or bad, hey, even if it's bad, I still think that people are going to take something away from this film, from Dawn of Justice, given the fact that people have been waiting for so long to see this, and now that it's finally happening. People are going to take something, because there is something special about it. I don't know what it is,
Something,
you know, people are going to take something away from it. And then that's, as long as you do that, then the movie will be fine.
Now, let me just add one thing. This trailer had to be cut this way. I have to give kudos to Zack Snyder and Warner Brothers for making the trailer. This trailer did feel, there was an emotion to it. It was a very emotional trailer. And I got to commend them for that. Otherwise, if they had repeated what they did in the previous trailer, the movie would have been dead on arrival. I mean, it's still in trouble.
Yeah, too.
But this had more of an upbeat, you know, it had more of a, you know, upbeat spirit to it. And I can appreciate that. It's just, I don't think Bob Iger and Marvel has to be worried about anything. I think everybody should be focused on what they do. Because it's not a competition. It's only in the minds of the sheep that's a competition. It's not a competition at all.
Exactly. Exactly. But let me give my.
Oh, and by, yeah, and by, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me just say this real quick. Let me get my personal view. I thought that the Dawn of Justice trailer was, again, let me start from the top of the hour, was epic. My review of the trailer, I like the beginning part of the trailer, with it tying into Batman was more threatening in this movie. This is the most threatening Batman since Michael Keaton. Nothing against Bale, by the way, 2.0, because I know you and Jack are still about.
Well, that's been
known as Batman.
I'm
but this Batman is actually more threatening. This Batman is the most threatening Batman that I've seen on screen. Very brutal.
Judging by the trailer, he could be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying from the trailer. Not the movie, but just sort of with the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying with the trailer getting. You can see elements of the Dark Knight Returns. You do see that. It looks like the universe is in there. I like the fact that Metropolis and Gotham is like my home city, Oakland and San Francisco, where it's right across from each other. I do like that. I like how they utilized Superman's universe. Now, this is to all the asshole naysayers that said this is just a Batman movie. It's actually a Superman movie. So they played up Superman even more.
It's both.
They actually played up both, but you still had, it's still an element of more pro-Superman than anything else. That was a complaint for many people, too. So it's still following up from the Man of Steel plot line, and it's still carrying on with Superman, but it's featuring Batman. So that was one good thing. But then they featured up Batman a little bit more in this movie because he is the protagonist. Eisenberg, I thought, was pretty decent. He seemed creepy as well. This is a very unique take on Lex Luthor. So I thought Eisenberg was decent. Some people didn't like him. I didn't have a problem with Eisenberg. I didn't have a problem with Wonder Woman, you know. She's not really my thing.
She's barely in
the movie. Yeah, she's barely in it. But I have an issue with how she looks in the movie. But the Batman and Superman stuff I liked. I liked the fight, some of the pieces of the fight scene. I liked the armor. I liked the interaction with Bruce Wayne. And just hearing Perry White mention Batman name live action should have made fanboys go absolutely crazy that Perry White, a Superman character, mentioned them live action. People miss the little tidbits, as the comic book said. The little small things matter. When Perry White literally says, "You're hunting for the Batman," that should have made everybody happy when you've seen that part. This is going to be an epic fail. Cali Guy approves this movie, period. I'm already in support of it. So that's my final thoughts on it. That's
another thing
about the movie.
Yeah, another thing you guys haven't mentioned was like the role Alfred is going to have, how he's going to kind of argue a lot with Bruce Wayne, and they're not going to see eye to eye. That stuff is interesting,
too. Yeah.
Alfred is going to have the same role he had in the comics and he had in all the previous movies. He's going to be that voice of reason for Bruce Wayne. You know, when he comes, you know, because Bruce Wayne, it looks like he's not thinking clearly when by the time he comes to blows with Superman. So Alfred's going to be that person, as you heard in the trailer. He's not our enemy. So I was going to be that voice of reason.
Powerful acting from Jeremy. It's powerful acting. Strong.
We're going to close this topic out with, we're going to go straight now.
One last thing about the trailer. The part where Batman stomped on the part where Batman stomped on Superman's chest, that was fucking awesome.
Loved it. So people check out, like this listening, check out the trailer to Dawn of Justice, anybody presenting to this show. So check it out. It's gonna make a billion. All the naysayers can shut up now and just shut the fuck up, you know, basically about Dawn of Justice. So
listen,
let's move
on. I can still trash if I want to, man. Listen, the verdict is still out, man.
But that's a lie. Why would I say that this week? So that's what I mean when I say this. If you criticize something, that's one thing. But just to say, oh, it's just weak just for the hell of it is where I'm just like, man, because all the naysayers have been trashing Donald Justice online.
That's
they tried to find
no, but here's the thing. But let's not to dwell on that. But, you know, we
yeah, but
Donald,
let's go to Suicide Squad.
Let's not dwell on
Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad.
Yeah, let's go on to that now. Everybody, Alex, you could start off by talking about Suicide Squad, and then after that, Crossfire, and then K-1.
Yeah, I think Suicide Squad, I would say, well, I can't really compare the both the trailers because one was official, one was leaked, but I would say I think Suicide Squad could be a better movie. It has a more interesting concept. I like the concept a lot. They really sold it on that. And I think Joker and Harley Quinn are going to be epic. Jared Leto, that he pretty much proved just by that clip that he's going to be a different Joker and an interesting interpretation of that character. And I'm so happy to finally see Harley Quinn in live action. And Margot Robbie, it looked like she knocked it out of the park with just the little snippets you see of her. And you kind of get what she's going for and what they're going for with her character and all that stuff. And everything else looks fine. You know, Will Smith looks all right. Like I said, I really like the concept of all these bad guys, all these prisoners coming together, and all that stuff. So it looks like it's really gonna be gritty and violent. You know, like. The director who did Fury did this movie, so it's going to be interesting how it plays out. But, that last shot with the Joker was as awesome as everyone reacted to. Like, shit, he got it. Like, Leto has this, you know. Really good trailer, even though it was leaked. version or whatever. But I really liked it. Really good. Who's next? That's all I gotta say.
I Crossfire, if you wanna go.
Yeah. I'll say, Suicide Squad, the only thing that attracted me to this film from day one was the announcement of Harley Quinn finally being introduced in live action form. I know people, you know, wanna see Joker and this and that, and rightfully so. I mean, Joker is one of the greatest comic book, if not the greatest comic book villain of all time. But for me, as a film goer, and I've seen enough of Joker to last a while. And that's just me personally. I've seen enough of him, throughout all facets of media, not just film, to last me, you know, a while. So when the main thing that I wanted to see was Harley Quinn. When I saw that trailer, she was one of the first, you know, members that was shown. I absolutely loved what Margot Robbie is bringing to this character. She looks like she jumped right off the pages, and she's just going to be this playfully murderous, woman. And I like everybody else, all the other Suicide Squad members. But my main reason for wanting to see this movie is Harley Quinn. We have never seen her on film before, so it's good. It's a good opportunity for us to see her there, and she looks amazing, beautiful. Jared Leto's Joker looks like he has no soul in those eyes, man. His heart is cold. He's cold-blooded, and I'm sure that when we finally get to see him on the big screen interacting with Harley Quinn, then it's going to be a thing of beauty. So, I love the trailer. The trailer was cool, and it was and this is another reason why I say this trailer even emphasized a point that, hey, DC is all in, they're not pulling any punches, and they're serious about this. So that's all I got to say on that.
Yeah, well, not to reiterate the same points I said earlier, but, you know, like I said, I was fascinated with a lot of the things that I've seen in the trailer. Like everybody else, you know, quality wasn't that fair, so I had to rewatch it a couple of times and, you know, kind of get a handle on the dialogue and have a greater understanding where things were going. You know, Crossfire said and 2.0 said in terms of the concept and just, you know, Harley Quinn coming to light, her theatrical debut, Margaret Robbie kind of personifying that already to the T, along with Jared Leto doing his own unique interpretation of the Joker, and taking it to a more, to me, probably the most sadistic level that it's ever been depicted on film. I think we're going to get a very, very kind of Jack the Ripper-esque slash Tyler Durden kind of Joker, man. It's just he's just going to be, it's going to be very, very innovative in his style and his method, the way he handled things. And I don't, like I said, it goes to show that, you know, David Ayer made a point when he came out on the panel that, you know, he was kind of tired of the same cliche stuff that was going on in the genre in terms of good versus evil. He was like, hey, why not bad versus evil? Why not see it from an antagonistical perspective? And when you take these kind of individuals who is, you know, kind of these, like, reprobated individuals in society, and you give them a second chance at life in order to do something that's valuable, but in the end, they most likely they're getting fucked over by the, you know, the powers that be. That makes a very, very intriguing story to me. And, you know, the things that I heard Viola Davis say in the trailer, I mean, she said something to the strength of, you know, I put them in a hole, but then I threw away the hole. You know, it's just little tidbits not like that to let me see that, okay, I'm all the way here. You know, it's just my only worry if the vast majority is going to take it, because the trailer was very dark, man. Very, very dark, very dark. And but maybe that's what's needed. I mean, maybe that's what's needed to shake up the genre and do something inventive. But I'm all in. I'm all in what they're doing. I'm only hope the other movies have their own unique tone to it. But this, I can understand why David Ayer was chosen. You know, he has a military background, and he has a tendency to infuse a lot of that stuff into his work, and we'll see how it goes. But I'm in, though. I'm very intrigued by it, and I'm looking forward to every one of those actors' performances, because they're all credible actors. Will, you know, he looks okay, you know, and I hope that he has a chance to, you know, have some fun with his character. That's all I got to say.
I hope that he realizes he's not the star of his movie.
One last thing, California. Well, I think he knows that, and it turns. I just like the last thing, and the one thing I noticed about this whole thing is that the whole cast has showcased the good form of camaraderie. Everybody's gotten along on set, at least that's what they're saying. And the movie looks unique, you know. And you know, come August 2016, you know, I think we'll all see, God willing, whether this movie lives up to the hype that is surrounding it right now. So that's all I got to say.
I just know for me, with Suicide Squad, again, I didn't see too much because, like you said, it was on the little cam, but so far I like what I saw. I like Harley Quinn. I was impressed with Harley Quinn being creepy in this vision that David Ayer put on and Zack Snyder and David Ayer have created this universe, and it kind of goes back to the Dawn of Justice argument. This world is like a Frank Miller-ist type violent world. You see, when you read DC Comics have always been portrayed as more of a violent world, like kind of a world where, in the modern DC universe, where it's more of a violent, dark kind of a universe anyway. And so that's been in DC Comics for like the last 3 to 4 decades, whether it was Green Arrow, whether it was Flash, whether it was Firestorm, whether it was Omega Men, Lobo. So they're dualizing because that's DC's identity. So with the Suicide Squad, I was very impressed with what I saw in there. And it matches the stuff from the comic books, Task Force X. You know, the movie is about, I guess, Amanda Waller gathering these dangerous villains and criminals from various movies, by the way, and let people know that some of these villains are going to be featured in other DC movies like Captain Boomerang, Deathstroke. So these are different villains that in different, probably from Teen Titans, because Deathstroke is a Teen Titans villain. You have Companion, you got different various DC characters. So this is a sign that DC is trying to have an identity in the shared universe, reverse engineering, as you want to call it. But Margot Robbie was absolutely fine as Harley Quinn, so complaint. Jared Leto's Joker, you know, he was decent. He was decent. I was impressed. I was one of the biggest critics of him. I don't think he's gonna not make the movie per se, because they're gonna phase him out a little bit. They said it's really gonna be Robbie, Harley Quinn, and Deathstroke. They're the primary antagonists of the movie, so they're trying to have. They're doing Jared Leto's Joker kind of like what they're doing with Batman and Dawn of Justice. They're trying to flesh him out a little bit so that you can have an understanding of that, what Joker has done to Batman. Why was Batman acting the way he? That's just a theory of mine. Why Batman is the way he is too? Because Joker has taken Batman through that ring. People got to understand this is a very
violent
Robin. Joker. Yeah, he killed Robin. Exactly, he killed Robin. And remember this 2.0. This Batman and Joker has been around for, it's confirmed, 20 years.
Yeah.
This is 20 years
yeah.
now. This is a very old Batman.
You saw Batman in the Suicide Squad trailer.
And remember, this Batman is old, and this Joker is old.
Yeah.
So they predate Man of Steel, so they already got history. So the Joker is going to be extremely violent. And in fact, I think the inspiration for this Joker, and, you know, people could put this up, is the Dark Knight Returns Joker and a little bit of the Earth 2 Joker. But Earth 2 Joker was more vicious. If anybody's familiar with Earth 2, Joker was much older, and, you know, Batman got old and Joker got old. And so Joker had been locked up for many, many decades up until the 80s. And so that version of Joker kind of is like this version where he's been in prison and he's really demented and everything else he's been like. And, you know, some inspirations, Joker was locked up in the Dark Knight. So I think it's like a what-if scenario. What if Joker in the Dark Knight universe came out of prison? So it's almost like that. So imagine if Joker had, because in the comic books, Joker consistently breaks out of prison all the time. He breaks out of Arkham every week. So I guess that's a show
yeah.
that Joker
has. Yeah, that's actually a good thing, because it's good for them not to do the whole Batman meets Joker again, you know. Like, he's been meeting for the first time. No, they've had a history already, and it's been established, and they know each other pretty well right now. And this,
what,
know,
about
exactly.
this red, what about this? What about this Red Hood theory that's been circulating around? I mean, I know that there's been rumors the last couple of months that the guys that were behind John Wick were. I think it's been confirmed already that, not officially confirmed by Warner Brothers, that Ben Affleck is going to be directing Batman solo. He's going to be co-writing it with Jeff Johns. So I heard that, this is what I don't know how true it is, but I read that Warner Brothers was very impressed with what Marvel did with the Winter Soldier, with the, you know, the revival of Bucky and that kind of story. And anybody that's familiar with Judd Whitting's run with the Red Hood and maybe the animated movie that came out about 5 years ago under the Red Hood, know that there's a similarity between Bucky and Jason Todd in terms of resurrection. I mean, you know, having kind of a jaded past and of that nature or whatnot. So I've heard rumors that, you know, Jason Todd is a priority for them to possibly bring into the foray down the line. I mean,
you know what? And I agree with you, because I pointed that one out too.
Well, I know it's a little bit more complicated in the comic book. I know they kind of.
Here's the issue with Jason Todd, though. And I want to see that. Don't get it twisted. I want to see a Red Hood movie. But Warner Brothers got this thing against the character of Robin. I was just talking to Jacqueline about this about an hour ago or two. Because of Batman and Robin movie that they had back in the 90s, that if you bring Jason Todd back, you have to reintroduce.
You'll want to see Robin, admit it.
You said what?
You'll want to see Robin, admit it.
No, I want to see Robin. I do. No, that's no secret. I want to see Robin back on the screen with Batman.
I got a perfect casting for Jason Todd. You want to hear? Don't laugh, though.
Jaden Smith.
Perfect casting. You might not see it. You might not see it physically, but this boy has the potential. Zac Efron. Y'all can't see it, but I'm telling you, that could happen. Y'all can't see it.
But you know what, though? But here's the thing that I was going to say real quick. Reintroduce the concept of robbers again, and that's if WB will want to do that, because they've been trying to stay away from the character for like almost 2 decades, and they made so much money.
Yeah, but
aren't
they going to have that Teen Titans show or something?
They are. That's confirmed. The Teen Titans is coming as a show. Because they're trying not to put, like, sidekicks on screen. I know it's WB, and it's not me hating on the sidekick people, but it's just that WB is...
No sidekicks.
You say what?
No sidekicks.
Yeah, they don't want no sidekicks. So, I mean, they could do Jason Todd. Let's just see, because I have to see Donald Justice. But I think they are going to put Jason Todd into a film, but I don't want it to just be too premature and say that's what they're going to do. So, but I'm going to move on. But, oh, one more thing. Suicide Squad, I approve it. So I have no problem with it. I think I agree with K1 when he said it's up to the mainstream audience that want to see it. But I want to move on from that.
I think the Joker and Harley Quinn are going to bring, you know, general audience because they like the Joker.
I agree with you.
That's going to bring
Joker and Harley Quinn. That will make money. It makes $600 million at the end of the day. So, yeah.
I give it Mad Max Fury Road numbers. I give it like $400 or $500 ballpark. I don't do it. Because it's still, I know people are saying this is the equivalent to Guardians of the Galaxy. This is an obscure idea. You know, it's a property, but it's just that they'll have to have two cuts of the film. Because I really don't think this, in order for the success that Warner Brothers is looking for, I mean, because I know they're looking for, you know, a good amount of money. I just can't see it. I mean, I know anything can happen, but to do $600 million with that tone, I give it Django Unchained numbers. I give it somewhere around then. It's really, really good.
Well, that's interesting.
We'll
see next year, but let's move on for now because we spent the whole hour on the DC
Deadpool.
Part, and I want to go into Deadpool. Yes, you guys dig into Deadpool. You guys, thoughts on Deadpool?
It's rated R, that's for sure.
Yeah, but they waited, you know, been a fan of Deadpool since the 90s, had a couple of books back in the day. I was a fan of the Ryan Reynolds casting back in the day. I felt that they dropped the ball with that. I don't mind them revisiting the character now, but, you know, the problem with the X-verse is just so unique. It's so hard to do on film, and I didn't see the footage for that, but I did see the footage for X-Men Apocalypse. I've seen a snippet of that, and I'm not impressed with what I've even seen. What Apocalypse looks like, Ivan Ooze from the Power Rangers movie from 20 years ago. He looks laughable. You know, Oscar Isaac looks like a joke as Apocalypse. So the Fantastic Four movies, everything that Fox has right now, it's questionable. So Deadpool looks like it might be fun. Maybe something like in the vein of what happened with Kingsman, you know, it might be in the vein of that. But
exactly, I agree 100%. Kingsman, it's gonna get that Kingsman level of praise, and if it's successful, hey, you know, maybe they can do a sequel. Because Deadpool, you know, I saw the footage, and I love how he did a knock against Green Lantern, saying, hey, you know, please don't give me no green CGI or, you know, no green animated suit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Ryan Reynolds looks, hey, you know, if Ryan Reynolds, he couldn't make it as Green Lantern, he hated what they did with Deadpool and X-Men Origins. So this is finally his chance to say, you know, this is for the fans. This is what I really wanted to do for so long. This is where his heart is. And you can tell in that trailer that he is owning the role in terms of the kind of character that Deadpool is. And although we didn't see much, I can tell that this is going to be a movie that is going to, like you said, K1, it's going to be like the Kingsman of you know, comic book movies. It's going to be
which is great. I mean, it deserves that. I mean, Deadpool fits into that style. I mean, Ryan Reynolds was always impeccable. He was always masterful casting with Deadpool. But like I said, they just dropped the ball with him back in X-Men Origins. And, like you said, it's his time to shine and really own the character. And I think it's going to happen. I mean, Deadpool comes out in, February? So has a pretty much a safe cushion in terms of generating hype and some money. So, you know, we'll see. Kind of just depends on if anybody takes to it.
I got to see the trailer, to be fair, so I can't really comment too much on it. So I didn't see it. So you guys, I think you guys work for it. I'm disappointed in Deadpool anyway.
Kelly guy. That's a lot of swearing, a lot of F-bombs, and a lot of violence.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
That's Cali Guy. That's
pretty much it. It's pretty much is what everyone was asking for. So it'll do fine.
I'm in support of it. I'm in support of it.
Stan Lee makes a cameo as a strip club guy. He's like owns a strip club. So that's Stan Lee's cameo.
Who makes a cameo? Who
Stan Lee. He makes an appearance as a strip club MC. Like he owns a strip club. He's like. Because he was in the trailer, you know, screaming, saying, and next up is whatever her name was, whatever stripper name was. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. And Deadpool is self-aware. He does know that he's in a movie. So I thought that was really cool. I'm on board. I'm on board with Deadpool. I was actually, at first, more excited. As a film, like, if I had to choose one, I would choose Suicide Squad, but at first I was more excited for Deadpool more than I was for Suicide Squad. But Deadpool's going to be fun,
that.
I guarantee.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be honest, it's going to shock you, but I'm in more support of Deadpool than Suicide Squad. I know that's going to shock you guys.
What? Go ahead. That's fine.
Yeah, I really want to see
Deadpool. Both movies, Deadpool is confirmed to be an R-rating, but I think Suicide Squad will be R-rated also.
But I wanted to see Suicide Squad. That is my movie, and I guess I'm on that gravy train. But Deadpool, I've been wanting to see. It's been a project that I've been waiting. I just haven't talked about it publicly much. But it's been a project that I've been waiting for. I used to read Deadpool back in the day. It's always been one of my favorites. You know, like, he's a staple of comic book characters, especially from the X-Universe. One of the biggest staples of it. So I'm glad that they're getting this final just dues. I think that they have an audience for it. Things are going to make money, so, you know. So it brings me to this next topic, then. One more thing with WB TV real quick, too. Did you guys see the Vixen animated tie-in to Arrow real quick, too? Because they just put it out today. They had the Vixen cartoon tied in with, yeah, I think it was pretty epic.
I saw the trailer, animated trailer, you mean, with Vixen?
Yeah, that's a tie-in to the TV show.
Yeah, I saw that. It looks like it. Yeah, it looks cool. I mean, I'm very picky when it comes to watching animated movies. In terms of, you know, it depends. It depends on, you know.
It's actually a regular show. Like it's a universe because you got Arrow and Flash in there. So I know they're making a lot of spin-offs. So it's pretty decent. Let me just read this news down real quick, you guys, before we get back to the topic zone. They presented so far at the Comic-Con Doctor Who. So people check out the Doctor Who. It's coming out September 25th. They presented this good show from Phyllis H. Dick where the Nazis, I forgot the name of the show, just set my damn mind, but the Nazis take over the whole world, you know, the Axis powers. It's an alternate universe show. It shows how the Nazis and Japan won World War II, and it shows America. And it's coming on Amazon Prime, so they check that one out, too. It looks like a decent show. Hannibal. I'm going to get to Hannibal real quick. Hannibal is going to jump
canceled.
3 years.
It's been canceled.
No, it's canceled, but just this.
It's still canceled.
It's canceled, but they got Red Dragon.
Trying to bring it back,
they're not bringing it back. No. But this is the better news, though.
So the
Red Dragon.
The guy who is in charge of the series,
they're not bringing
it
back, but it's still got Apple. But you know what, though? At 2.0, they got some good news here real quick. They jump-started it into Red Dragon. Now, after this arc is done.
Another movie?
Because it's a part. Yeah, no, not the movie, but the second arc of the show. Because so far, where Hannibal is in another country than a European country. So, but they're going to stop those events. And so it's going to jumpstart 4 years after this story arc is done. And you're going into the Tooth Fairy Killer. What's his name that plays Spock in the new Star Trek movies? Forgot his name. Zachary. When that kept pronouncing his name, he's a hero. Yeah. He's playing the Tooth Fairy. He was creepy. He's playing the Tooth. I'm gonna post up in the Catholic Guidebook. He's playing the Tooth Fairy. If anybody's seen the movie Manhunter and Red Dragon, Robert Vines was the last person to play the Tooth Fairy. So Hannibal's gonna be locked up, people. So it's confirmed. Hannibal will be locked up, and Will Graham will have to team up. Where he's gonna be in prison. So now people get to see Hannibal in a prison outfit finally. So. that was one of the best things to come out of Comic-Con. And I actually seen the trailer, and it was epic. So I say check out Hannibal. Walking Dead, they showed the trailer to the Walking Dead spinoff.
That looks good. That looks very, very, very good.
I haven't seen it, so the trailer's still
out. Just to give you guys, I don't know how many of you guys watch. Well, I know 2.0 does.
Yeah, I watch. Yeah.
But Walking Dead, let me say that in the upcoming, you know, movies that we're going to get where there's, you know, you have to pick a side and there's a versus thing going on with heroes, that's pretty much the theme of Walking Dead. I mean, they set up the atmosphere where two characters are going to go at it, and it was teased at the end of the last season, but
yeah.
I could tell that this season is going to be very, very, very intense. And they're catching up, at least I've heard online, that they're catching up to the comic books. So now they're no longer lagging behind. So, this is going to be a very interesting show. And I hope you guys should look at the trailer.
Okay,
it does look
Crossfire. Who do you think is going to die this year?
There were a few characters who weren't present in the trailer. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody. I mean, personally, who I think is going to die, I'd say Maggie, but, you know, but that's about it. I mean, you have to watch the trailer to see.
Cool.
They're going to kill off a black character. They always do. They always do.
No, he's right. I mean, they do kill off a lot of black, but besides Michonne, I'm really excited for because the Rick-tatorship is starting, and it looks like
the
Morgan is going to. That's what they're calling it.
Oh,
so,
okay.
It's you're going to have Morgan and Rick go at it. So that's basically what it's
going
to happen. That's
cool.
That looks like a
good don't fuck with Morgan. He's a Jedi.
Yeah.
But you know what? And one more thing, Flash people, because I'm kind of running through this. Flash is going to feature Professor Zoom as a main antagonist this season. Professor Zoom, Solomon Zoom, not Edward Thome, but Zoom. Zoom is actually faster than Edward Thome. Anybody that's familiar with DC Flash, Zoom is actually
Wally
crazy.
West is confirmed too. He's coming in season 2.
Oh, thank you. Wally West is in there too, and Jay Garrick. So that's confirmation from Comic-Con. So no more of that. Agent Carter, let me get to Agent Carter real quick. Agent Carter is going to be in Los Angeles, and there's going to be multiple Marvel villains in Agent Carter the second season. Don't know which villains they are because they didn't really say. I think it's more the C-list villains, but they said there are villains that Marvel fans would know. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will feature more Inhumans in there. They announced another Inhuman as part of the team, the Agent Coulson, and them going into this third season. Marvel was not present.
Was there anything about the Punisher?
Oh, they got pictures of the Punisher. Actually, there's pictures with him in his regular clothing in the Daredevil show. Actually, they put out pictures of Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones also got pictures of Luke Cage with her place blowing up, his bar, and him in his skin. So they show pictures, but that's from non-Comic-Con. This is not Comic-Con stuff. This is just
Crossfire, what do you think of Shane as the Punisher?
Oh, I support it. I support it. I love the fact. Well, first of all, I just love the fact that Punisher is coming to television. Because I was telling, I was telling everybody for a while, that I want a Punisher. Ever since the Daredevil TV show was successful, I was like, Punisher needs to come to television. Marvel needs to bring their darker heroes to television, and that's what we're gonna get. And it's perfect casting, and I know he's gonna own it. And Daredevil season 2 now has Punisher and Elektra, so things are gonna get even more interesting. And season 2 is
and they're probably gonna have Bullseye too, right?
Yeah. They'll probably have Bullseye in there. So everything, it's going to be interesting. And
let's
I'm excited for Daredevil.
Yeah, let's just hope Punisher doesn't rub his head that much, you know, like Shane.
You know what I think, though? You know what's interesting
about
this is very, Punisher's going to be a villain, I think. He's going to be the big antagonist, I think, for this season. I think Kingpin is going to be reduced. But I do think Punisher's going to dominate those episodes. I think Maul, if anybody
knows he's either a villain or an anti-hero.
Well, you know, he's going to be like Batman. You know how they're doing with Dawn of Justice? They're going to do that Punisher.
Like,
where
when he was introduced, you know, in the comics originally, he was a villain. The one who could kill Spider-Man.
Actually, you know what? Punisher's been a villain, at least. When Derek Conway introduced him, he was a villain, at least, up until the 80s with Punisher. Punisher was getting captured. I mean, because a lot of issues I've read with Punisher and Spider-Man, he was really featured in that. Punisher was getting captured. In fact, they imprisoned him. But that wasn't until the mid-80s that they started to give Punisher a book and he started to become like a full-fledged hero. But Punisher still is in a villain status. So he was a villain, but like, he was the anti-hero.
So, they might introduce him as a villain in season 2of Daredevil.
He is going to be a villain. No, I really do think he's the antagonist. A lot of people don't believe me right now because Kingpin, it makes sense real quick about Daredevil. It makes sense with Punisher being the antagonist in this season because last season was Kingpin. Kingpin kind of dominated all those episodes. So it makes sense that Punisher is not a full-fledged superhero now. Because if you look at the end of season 1, he became the Daredevil. So going into season 2, this is a person that's doing the same thing like Daredevil, except he's killing criminals. And so it's got to be a way. Punisher is not going to be a joke. He's going to be executing criminals all in Hell's Kitchen. 2, they got to tie Spider-Man into this universe. So it's a lot of things that's going on. Spider-Man is now in the Marvel.
Yeah, they're
going to
have Spider-Man villain.
Yeah, so they're going to have a lot of Spider-Man type stuff. Because remember, Punisher, Kingpin, are all in the, to be honest with you, the Spider-Man characters. So they're going to start tying some of that in together. It's going to be interesting. I don't want to get too much of the Daredevil right now. But it's going to be real, real interesting. Is the Quentin Tarantino movie. 2.0, you said you had some breakdowns on it. I know we didn't see a trailer, but I wanted to get into that.
Yeah, I read stuff about it, yeah. So when on the panel, like, Tarantino explained, like, you know, the kind of lenses he used to film the movie. What's it, 70 millimeter, right? 70 millimeter. And they now said, you know, Morricone is scoring the film, so that's awesome. Because he always loves to use the score, so he's bringing him back to score the film. That's awesome. And you saw the pictures and the new poster, which is awesome, old school poster. Love it. I think, it's like you said, Kelly guy, it's going to be one of the best films of the year. It's my number one anticipated film.
It is. It's mine, too, actually.
Yeah,
it's my anticipated movie also. Actually, that movie is going to be, because I read the script. I'm not going to spoil it for you guys. I did read the screenplay. Shout out to Fandom and Josh Morris because he actually sent me the screenplay, but I didn't read it. But they did a lot of changes to it. I'm one of the big. You guys
he leaked the script. Okay.
What?
He leaked the script. It was him the whole time.
Yeah, he leaked. He's going to get Fandom in trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm his kitten. But you know, I was going to say. The movie is going to be one of the most epic movies ever because it's like they're telling stories and it's really dark. It's like a dark cowboy movie. And the thing is with the movie, it's going to be like the TV shows, like old TV shows with cowboys, from what Tarantino said, where you have like the Virginia, where you have a bunch of criminals and they're telling their backstory, bounty hunters. And so that's basically this movie here. In a way, this movie, if people think that this is not a Tarantino movie, this is the most Tarantino you're going to get. In the West
he's going full Tarantino.
You said what?
He's going full Tarantino.
Of course, he's going full. And
I just want you guys to know that Tarantino said that there's a possibility for Kill Bill 3.
Oh.
He said that, you know, the girl, he wants to get the original the original girl from the first movie, who was Vivica Fox's daughter, and he, because you know she said, of course, in the first movie that, hey, if you want your revenge, you come find me when you're ready. And he said that she's not old enough yet, so when she's old enough, you know, because what's her face, the main character of Kill Bill, what's her name?
Uma Thurman
wants to actually, she wants to really do another Kill Bill movie. So he said it's not off the table. He said he is interested, and he said that when she's old, when the little girl is old enough, you know, then he will definitely think about doing another Kill Bill, doing another addition to the franchise.
Well,
that's cool.
Well,
I hope he does. I'm interested.
I hope he do. I don't want to get, but I'm such a fan of Kill Bill and Tarantino. I don't want to get my hopes up that you get. Because Tarantino says, let me tell you guys something about Tarantino. And Alex, you probably know this and Cam. Tarantino is one of those kind of directors and writers that his mind is always developing. There were so many different projects that he was supposed to have.
Yeah, true.
Really get to
doing that's
it.
True.
And so,
yeah,
so when Tarantino says that, I hope that he does do it and he reunites, but I got to wait. Because he said he's going to do a John Brown movie at one point, and he didn't do that. So and there was a lot of
the Vega Brothers, remember that? The Vega Brothers?
You said which one?
The Vega Brothers.
You know what? The Vega Brothers, I think he was just shooting the shit when he said that, I think. I'm not going to lie to you. I would have loved the Vega Brothers, but I knew, I'll be honest with you, certain projects, and you know what, when you listen to, because I watched a lot of interviews with Quentin Tarantino.
And then he was thinking of doing a, what was that, Killer Crow? Like, it was going to be take place in World War II, it was going to have black soldiers in it, getting revenge.
He was.
Like, he had the idea, too, like, a few years ago.
Well, you know what, though, with Tarantino, I've heard him, I think he's a man with multiple ideas. I think he was a man that...
Like the
Toro. Toro, yeah, exactly. He's identical, and this is shout-out to the Toro. The Toro, please make In the Mouth of Madness. Please make that movie.
He's got,
but that,
he's got like 100 scripts.
Yeah, but you're right. He is just like the Toro, because Tarantino has a lot of ideals, and he says them, but there's certain ideals that I think he narrows it down. I think something got to be, like Inglourious. I knew that was always coming, because he's been talking about Inglourious. You kind of could tell which movie he's going to make. If Tarantino sort of talks about it a lot, then not to know if he's going to make it. If he says, well, I'm thinking about making it, that means he's not going to make it. That means he's shooting an ideal out. Maybe he's written it down. Maybe he has an ideal. But I think that he'll be serious. Like the Killer Crow thing, I think that he wasn't too serious.